All right, well, he did it again. Who? Our friend Tim Keller. Now, in the past, I highly regarded him, especially for his sound arguments concerning the existence of God. One of the series I saw he did on marriage was just excellent in its teaching and its application. And I've always loved his manner, the way he teaches, with a touch of humor as well, and just a very humble approach from the pulpit, at least. But then 2020 came around, and 2021 on top of that. And then he, like many others, especially those aligned with the Gospel Coalition and similar groups, they showed their truest colors when it comes to theology and the philosophy of ministry and approach to people. We discovered that they weren't as aligned with God's word as maybe we thought they were or were led to believe they were. Well, on Twitter recently, very recently, he posted this video I'm about to show you and also his comments. And of course, we're going to come back with a response from a biblical point of view. And then there were some subsequent comments he made as well that just added to the fire. So, well, anyway, let's get started with it. And well, here's what I mean. Watch this and listen to this.
I think something that your viewers really connect with in your comedy and your hosting skills, yes, especially in the past few years, is how open and honest and authentic you are about the role your faith plays in your life. And I was wondering, is there any, you know, does your faith and your comedy ever overlap? And does one ever win out?
I think ultimately, us all being mortal, the faith will win out at the end. But I certainly hope when I get to heaven, Jesus has a sense of humor. But I will say this, someone was asking me earlier about what this relates to faith, because my faith is involved with, I'm a Christian and a Catholic, and that's always connected to the idea of love and sacrifice being somehow related and giving yourself to other people, and that death is not defeat, if you can see where I'm getting at there. Someone was asking me earlier, what movie did I really enjoy this year? And I said, well, I really like Belfast, which is Kenneth Branagh's story of his childhood. And one of the reasons I love it is that I'm Irish and Irish-American, and it's such an Irish movie. And I think this is also a Catholic thing, because it's funny and it's sad, and it's funny about being sad. In the same way, that sadness is like a little bit of an emotional death, but not a defeat if you can find a way to laugh about it. Because that laughter keeps you from having fear of it. And fear is the thing that keeps you from turning to evil devices to save you from the sadness. As Robert Hayden said, we must not be frightened or cajoled into accepting evil as our deliverance from evil. We must keep struggling to maintain our humanity, though monsters of abstraction threaten and police us. So if there's some relationship between my faith and my comedy, it's that no matter what happens, you are never defeated. You must understand and see this in the light of eternity and find some way to love and laugh with each other.
Hey, welcome to Truth Unbound. I'm your host, Walter Swaim. I'm so glad you joined us. And just before we get into the topic of today, I wanted to quickly remind you of two things. The first one is one that not many know about, and that's that we have a Spanish version of Truth Unbound called Verdad Sin Límites. And so we'll put the link to that podcast in the description of this podcast so you can share it with those who enjoy the same kind of content in Spanish. Secondly, Truth Unbound has been slowly growing in its audience, and that's because of you. You sharing, liking, and subscribing to the podcast, and I'm so grateful for you doing that. I mean that more than you know. So would you continue that today by liking, subscribing, hitting all notifications on YouTube, following and sharing Truth Unbound and all its podcast with others on your Facebook page or in a text, however you can. But, well, anyway, let's get to Tim's comments and video right now. So Tim Keller also had this to say with that clip from The Late Show with Steve Colbert. This was one of his tweets, the same tweet, and this is what he said. Quote, "This is a brilliant example of how to be a Christian in the public square. Notice the witness, but in a form the culture can handle. We should desire to have more Christians in these spaces and give them grace as they operate." End quote. Now, if that weren't enough, he goes further and makes more statements to buttress that statement. And let me go ahead and read through them all, and then I can fully respond with a biblically based response that we can use to understand all of this and separate the good from the bad, if you will. Okay? So here's what he says. "The recent post I made about Stephen Colbert's partial answer about his faith and the ensuing comments has shown me American Christians still have a long way to go on understanding Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, how to be wise in the ways you act towards outsiders. This is called contextualization. What is contextualization? It's adapting your message to be understandable and compelling to particular hearers without compromising the truth in any way. Why contextualize? First, because everyone already does it. As soon as you choose a language to speak in, and vocabulary, and illustrations, and arguments, you are adapting to some human hearers more than others. If you don't become conscious of how you are contextualizing, which is inevitable, you won't contextualize well. Second, because Paul contextualizes in his speeches. See how he presents to Bible believers in Acts 13 blue-collar pagans and Acts 14 educated pagans in Acts 17? Third, because the biblical writers contextualize. See John's use of Greek philosophy's logos in John 1. See the use of Hittite suzerain treaty form in the book of Deuteronomy. See Paul's contextualization of the gospel to Greek and Jewish cultural narratives in 1 Corinthians 1:22-24. Fourth, because Paul calls us to contextualization without compromise in 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. Fifth, because the incarnation itself was a kind of contextualizing so we could understand the Word made flesh. Sixth, keep in mind you can't and shouldn't say everything every time when bearing a public witness to your faith. In Acts 17, Paul spoke of judgment, but not of the cross or of how to get forgiveness. So it wasn't a full gospel presentation. It was laying a foundation for talking to people later. Unless Christians are completely going to pull themselves out of the public square, we will need to contextualize. Let's do so well. Okay, so let's drill down to the most basic and necessary parts and responses we have to these, because this is genuinely inaccurate, especially as to how Paul and his methods and words are being interpreted by Tim Keller and applied for his readers. Also, there is a major misstep in who he compliments here and why, and we'll get to all of this. First, Stephen Colbert. That should be enough, but let me elaborate. Now, Colbert is the late night host of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, as well as having hosted a show on Comedy Central. He is a political satirist, usually with his cutting jokes pointed at conservatives. So a lot of it is showbiz to get applause and fame and money. So you can kind of discard much of what he says, all right? Plus, I just never found him to be funny, personally, but I'll move on. You see, Keller gives a smooth yet full endorsement of what Stephen Colbert stated in his response to Dua Lipa's honest question. Keller says it is a brilliant example of how you would be and share the good news of Jesus, and that there need to be more Christians like this. Now, why is this problematic? Well, it's problematic because first he chose Stephen Colbert as the example. You see, Colbert is widely known for his moral and political views diverging widely from Scripture, much less from his own Catholicism and its pro-life stance especially. Colbert, with all joking aside, has supported abortion, which is the murder of babies in the womb, as well as transgender rights. Both come in conflict with biblically based belief and the clear teaching of Scripture. Now, I'm not here to judge if Colbert is a Christian or not. But as Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, "You shall recognize them by their fruits," we likewise are looking at the fruits and we're wondering, huh? Now, Jesus was addressing the problem of false teachers here in that passage specifically, that their actions and words will reveal if they are true to Jesus' teachings or not. I know Colbert doesn't profess to be a Bible teacher, but he is a public figure who has openly said, as he did in this video clip, that he is a Christian, a follower of Jesus. So we can make true assessments as to what is truly in the heart if Colbert's views don't align with Scripture. Then at least he would not be a good example of how to share the gospel. But again, Keller defends his choice of who is an example of how to be a witness for Jesus and the gospel. For instance, he says this in his another tweet. Note, when you quote a person as an example in a particular moment, it doesn't mean you have to answer for that entire person's life for that quote to be valid. It's almost like those who do so don't want to deal with the material at hand. Well, Mr. Keller, I'm dealing with the material at hand right now, and there's some truth there to what you say. But for instance, when I, as a gospel teacher of the Bible, align myself with those who have proven they don't accept all of Scripture's teaching, and then make them an example, a good example, or a testimony to what should be done, then it's my reputation then that is in doubt, because of whom I am endorsing publicly. Jude said this in the almost to the end of the New Testament. He said this in verses 22 and 23, "And have mercy on those who doubt, save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh." And Mr. Keller, I think the garment has been stained here just a little bit, and we're just trying to help you in this. One last response to Tim's later related comments. He says this, "The recent post I made about Stephen Colbert's partial answer about his faith and the ensuing comments has shown me American Christians still have a long way to go on understanding Colossians 4 verses 5 and 6, how to be wise in the ways you act towards outsiders. This is called contextualization." And then he continues with further tweets explaining that Paul's methods in Acts 17 prove what he is doing here with Colbert's shining witness for Jesus and endorsing it. And let's continue with what Mr. Keller says. He says this, "In Acts 17, Paul spoke of judgment, but not of the cross or of how to get forgiveness. So it wasn't a full gospel presentation. It was laying a foundation for talking to people later. Unless Christians are completely going to pull themselves out of the public square, we will need to contextualize. Let's do so well." Oh, really? Well, let's look at that last part of Acts 17, verses 30 through 31, where Paul said this, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." No, Tim Keller, he didn't mention the cross directly, but he did directly declare God's judgment on those who do not have Jesus' righteousness covering them, and that Jesus rose again from the dead, affirming that all of this is true. I don't think I heard that on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert's statement and witness for Christ. But moving on. You see, lastly, this last tweet really turned me off, and it should turn you off too. This is what Mr. Keller says. "The recent post I made about Stephen Colbert's partial answer about his faith and the ensuing comments has shown me American Christians still have a long way to go on understanding Colossians 4, 5, and 6. How to be wise in the ways you act towards outsiders. This is called contextualization. Now, what is it that's bothersome in this? I think this statement, quote, American Christians still have a long way to go on understanding Colossians 4 verses 5 and 6, that part there specifically, it smacks of tremendous arrogance. And it is very telling about the motive and the perspective Tim Keller has for you and me overall. This has also become very common with the entire gospel or the majority of the gospel coalition, writers and speakers as well, and why many are beginning to reject it. If only by virtue of the arrogance that they're showing and how they interpret scripture and about you, well, you just don't, you don't get it because you're not like us. Now, what about that fruit you shall know them thing? I think I'm just going to leave this here. It's sad and it's discouraging, to be honest, and we wonder why the American and Western church is weakened in its witness for the gospel. It's because of this kind of compromise. This shows the answer to what we're wondering about that for. Well, I hope this brings an important understanding in a brief manner of a crucial issue to you. We need to be careful how we live our lives, and what we believe does matter a lot. And it makes all the difference in not only how we witness the good news to others, but also what we understand the gospel or good news to actually be. So I really appreciate you listening and being a part of this. And I think as well, we need to do this. We need to sincerely pray for Tim Keller. He is going through the battle of his life, struggling against a severe form of cancer. We can disagree, but still love. And so we want to pray for him. Would you pray for him today and continue to pray for him and keep up on it, and let's support him through that battle. Okay? He needs our prayers and love. Well, remember to click like, subscribe, follow, and share this podcast. And please feel free to comment or email me as well. Just follow Jesus. When you do, you'll always follow the truth.